Last week, I said, be present, endure. Today, I say, be present, be intimate. In a way, not so different, and yet, sometimes we need to keep clarifying what this is. So we use different words, and then sometimes we see that we add something on. So when I say endure, some people think, oh, that means I need to be good and endure what's hard to endure. Or, oh, it's so hard, but I'll just put up with it until, or other things. So, be intimate. Being intimate, is in a way our life. Very simple. Being intimate, body, mind, being intimate, emotions, so-called we like, so-called we don't like, being intimate, circumstances, conditions, this body, mind, conditions, all outside, so to speak, people we encounter, conditions, all sorts of thoughts we have about. See, being intimate is our life, and yet we find if we're caught up in our reactions, thoughts, judgments, we fight this intimacy moment, and then all sorts of things grow out of that. Okay. As I like to do in these kinds of situations, is I say a few words, and then open it up and we can talk about it in terms of clarifying our practice. And that comes out of your comments or questions and the comments of others and my responses. So I'll stop now. I think I've said enough to start us in a direction. I probably will continue with this tomorrow and next week, and as you know, if you're interested, it's usually posted on the website. And in a way, ongoing practice is clarifying and manifesting this intimacy, appreciating this intimacy that is our life. So,
you've mentioned about fighting intimacy.
Yes.
I noticed this particular last week I was working on a project, and I noticed that it was hard to be intimate. That I was, for example, intimate being, you know, sometimes I might need to take a break to have lunch, mm-hmm. or, you know, go for a walk. But I was so caught up in wanting to get this thing done, mm-hmm. that I wasn't, I wonder if that's what you mean. I mean, I was just out of balance or whatever, but it's, the thing did have to get done. But sometimes there's this underlying thought about, gotta get it done now, I can't take a break.
Yes, so noticing the, what should I say, the subscript, judgment. I got to get it done now, and the emotion, thought, tension, and then seeing, is that blinding you literally from being, doing that, the trying to get done, is that blinding you from being here? And, or is it just appearing and disappearing? And no one else can tell you, or other people might say something, but what's most valuable is your being present as you are doing and seeing, is there agitation about, oh, I got to get this done, that hinders, or is it just appearing and disappearing? And that's part of being intimate. That is being intimate as this moment life, which includes all the various so-called functionings, various so-called, the functioning of being human. The functioning of being human includes doing projects, or doing your work, or teaching, or being with someone, or hearing someone complain to you, or, and go on. All of that is your life conditions right now. Easiest is when we're doing Zazen, because there is no one else doing anything, so to speak, except our ideas that were caught up about how they are, or how that is going to be in 5 hours, or how it was 5 hours ago. But we can see it a little more clearly when it appears in the midst of sitting Zazen. And yet, even there, we notice that can happen. But it's all the more our practice, and yet takes all the more your practice effort to do it in the midst of the swirl of circumstances. Sometimes.
Yeah. Along these same lines of thought, it's something that an exercise or a technique that I find helpful, although I'm not very good at it, it's kind of difficult, is to say welcome when I get upset about something, I'm afraid of something might happen or might not, whatever, might get worried or sad or whatever. Anything that I would normally try and walk away from or ignore or deal with, it's helpful just to say, okay, welcome. Welcome fear. That doesn't cure anything. that doesn't fix the fear, but at least it puts it in perspective, or at least takes the edge off of it in a way. So then it's easier just to be with that feeling fear, feeling sadness, feeling irritation moment, and not get so caught up in it. It's just, and it's a silly little thing, just to say, welcome anger. But it is a step back, a little step back that I find helpful.
Sometimes we can actually, if the circumstances are right, literally do it by either putting our hands in gassho or bowing to a circumstance, a condition, a person, a task. And that whole body, mind bowing, even just for a moment, even if you think, oh, this is just a silly form I'm doing, it yet it enables and supports you in welcoming, as you say, in opening up to being intimate as this person, event that is now your life at this moment.
Well, it's interesting because in a way it's phony to interject that, okay, welcome anger. In a way that's a phony technique, but yet the same time, it seems to have a positive effect.
How is it phony?
Well, because I really don't want to welcome anger.
So who says you're supposed to want to welcome? See, when you say welcome, that's just saying welcome despite the fact that you don't want to. See, it's only an idea that you're adding on. Oh, I need to be genuinely... That's like saying, I need to really be Buddha before I be Zazen. Now, being Zazen is being Buddha. And yet, if you have an idea, oh, I can't sit Zazen until I am completely awakened, then you're already... No, then already you're caught up in your ideas. And you that much you don't see be who you are. See? I quoted this before because it's nice. Suzuki Roshi often said to some of his students, you're perfect as you are, and you could use some improvement. One, two.
I like that, what you're saying. Also, someone else can give it to you. And I had that gift from Ron, who I work with in Springfield. Yesterday, I worked in Springfield, which is a busy store. And he's so behind all the time and works so many hours. You'd think he would be so stressed and caught up in that. But he's able to give everybody something in the midst of that. And I just woke up in so much pain. My neck, my whole spine all the way down was inflamed. And all day I was like cold and hot and nauseated. And I was just really struggling with trying to put out the effort to just start the day. And I wasn't saying too much about it. I said, oh, my neck is just killing me today. I'm really having a lot of pain. But I was not trying to just complain. And Ron said, any time today that you need to take a little break and just sit down and let all that, like, just have some space, that's fine. You just take whatever time you need. And that just gave me somehow the same thing you were saying to do for yourself. Somehow him acknowledging that he could see my struggling gave me that I could just accept and work within the context of a bad physical day in the middle of having a lot to do. And in the past, I feel good today, but I hope that I could learn to give other people that, to recognize it and be able to give that too.
Good. Thank you.
One of the things that I notice is I have a lot of resistance to certain emotional states, especially fear. And then I become angry because I have fear, and then I become angry because I have to get rid of fear. Then I become angry because I'm even angry about all that. So I guess I'm not really, and I can't. I have to catch myself at this. Catch myself at all these things. And then I really don't know how just to be with it.
Well, I wouldn't use the word catch. I mean, that might be the way it is for you, but I think it's useful to look to see it as notice when this is here. And then when you notice when the anger is there, then you can be present, be bodily intimate, body-mind intimate for a moment. Even if you notice, I'm angry that I'm angry, and then notice that. And then just, in a sense, open that anger grasping, anger pushing, and see if you can breathe and be that. In one way, a useful ongoing supportive practice for that would be to, on a regular basis, once a day, even when you notice it, but often that's not appropriate, do some bows with anger. In other words, as at after you sat or at some appropriate time in the day, imagine, so to speak, that your anger is right there with you, and do 18 bows or 9 bows or 36 bows or whatever number of bows you want, whole body, just full bows with the anger. And I say, it doesn't matter what you think about it at that time. It's the whole doing of the bows that is skillful. And do that as an ongoing practice once a day. Even if, quote, no anger appeared that day or the day before. Just do it. And that, in a way, has an ongoing supportive aspect, and it has this moment, this moment, this moment, supportive of being intimate. You're welcome. Anger is a wonderful Dharma friend, even though it's poisonous and toxic. But when it appears, if we can see how to skillfully practice with that appearing, then we don't have to be caught and blinded by it, and we don't act out of it to create more harm and suffering for so-called ourselves and so-called others, which is what we tend to do with anger. We tend to believe the whole self-centered habit and react out of it.
Yeah. It comes to mind, I'm hearing what Mushin said and others have said, sometimes you're saying, sometimes if I can just, when I do notice being caught up, if I can just welcome it, if I can just stop for a moment and use it as a trigger to, be aware, then it is very helpful. It's just the ability to get to that point where one is able to have that equanimity. You can welcome. You see, this is an opportunity, we'll say.
Mm-hmm. And welcoming is whole body mind welcoming. It's being present. It's not just thinking about welcoming. It's welcoming. And it's not something special or extra. It's being as we are. That's welcoming. Someone here. I saw a hand go up. I thought, but maybe I was wrong.
When you talk about being intimate, I start to look at different experiences differently as we're talking, and it is easier to be intimate, say, if you're listening to NPR and there's this story and it's just pulling at your heart, and you're totally involved, and you, and someone's done something courageous or whatever, and you're so in that moment, it's not even hard. And then there are those moments where it is so hard to be intimate with that moment, and not want to push that moment away. Because you can compare it to these other moments, like beautiful music, or you compare it to these moments where you just easily surrender into the intimacy and it feels so good.
And yet as soon as we compare and say, I need A, B, C, I need certain conditions in order to be intimate, that much we are caught up.
Yeah.
And as being intimate, in a sense, supports being intimate. So the more we're willing to be, the more we be where we are, the more we're able to be where we are. And that means the universe keeps offering us opportunities of all sorts. And if we set conditions, I could be intimate with people who are nice to me, people who I know, with quiet, serene music, but not in the loud traffic, street noises, jarring, and you keep noticing the conditions we put on it. And it's to notice the condition is to therefore, in a sense, have the opportunity to go beyond that conditioned mind story and to be right where we are. And the more we do that, the more we're able to do it, if I say it in such a way. If we don't believe our stories about circumstances and conditions, then the whole universe is right there, offering itself right here. If we believe our stories, then it becomes good and bad, I like, I don't like, and that's what's called samsara, if I use such a term. That's called being caught up in self-centered dream. And it's not a matter of some general statement of what, quote, I believe or don't believe, but it's this moment seeing what's we're holding, or sensing where we're closing our eyes, our ears, our body, our presence. And just take care of this one. Don't worry about all the ones before or all the ones later. And that's the wonderful opportunity we have as our life and as our zazen and as our ongoing practice. So whichever place we are, that's where we start. It doesn't matter in the sense that there's better or worse ones. It's wherever, whoever shows up. I make a practice when I walk in the streets or even in the stores or when I encounter people, I try, I make the practice of saying hello, good morning, good afternoon as soon as I see them, and it's appropriate to do that. It's a simple little thing. In Asian cultures, the tradition is to just, when you meet someone or at a temple, monastery, you just put your hands together and you bow to them. In America, that's a little too strange for most people. And therefore, we don't do things that are strange because, in a sense, it hinders proper functioning, appropriate, skillful functioning. In some places, it's appropriate, but in most places, if I'm in a supermarket and I start doing this, most people will look at me like, what are you doing? But if I say good morning or hi, they'll respond.
Some people won't.
Well, if they don't, that's okay. That's theirs, not yours. You don't do it on the condition that you get a response or that they are a certain way. You do it because it's appropriate when you encounter this aspect of your life universe, of them walking towards you. Very simple practice, very ordinary practice, and yet very helpful in welcoming this moment, in appreciating this life.
In reality, for me, it's easier if people, if somebody cuts me off, I'm driving down, somebody is driving in what I consider a dangerous way, and they cut me off and zip in and out, It's first you have that reaction, and it's not too hard to see that reaction and say, okay, well, welcome. And that person, what do I know? Maybe they have an emergency. I'm making a judgment. Those kinds of things. Or a client, that's being unreasonable or problematic for me, and just making a mistake, I think, in their decision process. And it's not too hard, to say, okay, well, that's my judgment, and you know, that's their practice, and not get too caught up in it. But when my wife says, "I told you to take out the garbage," that's not so easy.
Uh-huh.
Why is it that the closer someone is to you, the more difficult the practice ever becomes?
Okay, why is it?
In some way, it's obvious. You know,
why is it?
Why it is? Well, because you're so connected and so so caught up in that person in so many different levels, and you have so many ideas about them, and it's so important to you what they think and what their reactions are, because it affects you day to day.
No. But don't go to the explanation too much. Just stay with. Notice the judgments and the stories. She shouldn't say that to me. Or,
darn right.
Or how many times have I told her not to? Good. See, that's wonderful.
Well, Zen becomes a problem in a way. It can become a problem in that way because, you know, like, oh well, you know, I'm. Look at me, I'm a better person. Than
whoever
me.
Said that? Whoever said that?
I'm telling you what can happen to me.
But why is it that it's so much harder?
Why is secondary? Why is secondary? The fact that what's important is to notice how we keep generating stories and how much it does rip at us when, let's say, your son, my son, does something that I told him not to do it. How could he go be so stupid? Or whatever story. See, notice that. And then what is it to be there with him doing that? And then to see, okay, can I embrace that, be intimate and appreciate that, and then see what to do skillfully, given that he did, I thought, how do I appreciate this as it is? Joko often said, especially with close relationships, what's important is to be able to say, I appreciate you for what you are, and I appreciate you for what you're not. See, it's all the knots that we have story. How could you not do this? How come you didn't? How come you don't? How come, you know, you are always messing this up? That's the appreciating them for what they're not. See, that's where the practice is. Appreciating people who are nice and helpful and skillful and loving. Oh, that's the easy part. And people don't do that also. But be that as it may, that's the easy part of practice, if I say it in such a way. How do we appreciate them for what they're not? Despite our story, oh, they're not, and you fill in, and we all have it. And it could be about so-called others, and it could be about so-called ourselves. Oh, I'm not, how come I'm not? And you fill in what you're not, skillful enough, fast enough, smart enough, strong enough, or I'm not so stupid like they are, or I'm not so, and whatever. So, yes.
Hearing the conversation reminds me of an incident with my son many, many years ago in which I realized one day I was really angry with him. He was 18 months, 2 years old. And I was really angry with something that he did, and I swatted him on the behind. And upon reflection, long before I learned this practice, I realized that the day before he had done the same thing, and it didn't bother me so much. And that helped me to realize it wasn't so much about him.
Uh-huh.
And what he was doing, but that I was different on the second day than I was on the first day when he did that, and that was what I wanted, needed to look at.
And before you noticed what you were believing, you acted, and that's our tendency, our reactive habits. Before we see the habit, before we see the thoughts, feeling that we're holding on to, and that's where the practice is to be able to notice it. Before we react, the fact that the habit the reaction arises, it just arises. It's what we then do is our opportunity.
It's a little trouble sometimes, yeah. So I have a lot of friends.
Yes, create suffering for us and harm, suffering for others, so to speak. Yes. Yes. So it's a wonderful opportunity. So I encourage you, be present, be intimate. Thank you.